Good evening. Thanks for coming. Charlie has given me a generous amount of time, so we'll try to make the best of it. Lesson this week is Witnesses to Christ's Resurrection. Scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 11, if you want to turn there. To begin this week's lesson, I would like to read the introduction from our study guide. It says, the foundational doctrine of the Christian faith is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection is the single most important event in human history, as man's salvation depends on it. This is not just an intellectual, philosophical, or even theological concept to agree with. It is a historical event that one must believe and trust in. The world thinks it is absurd to claim that a man who was dead and buried could be alive again. That is not a problem, however, if God exists. God has the power to give life, which includes resurrecting a dead body. It is established historical fact that Jesus was crucified on a Roman cross, buried in a tomb. 3 days later, the tomb was found empty. God raised him from the dead. Let us rejoice in our living Savior. Haney's Bible Handbook, I'll use an excerpt from there. It says, the fact that some of the Corinthian church leaders were already denying the resurrection is an indication of the extent to which false teaching of the very worst kind had crept into the church. Paul insists in his strongest language of which he is capable that except for the hope of resurrection, there is no excuse for the existence of Christianity. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead was the one unwavering refrain of the apostles. The 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians is the fullest discussion of it in the New Testament. In the meaning it gives to human life, it is the most significant and grandest single chapter in the Bible. This lesson can be outlined in three parts. Testimony of the Gospel. Testimony of eyewitnesses. And the testimony of Paul. And first, we'll look at the testimony of the gospel. That's the first two verses of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. So let's read those two verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you receive, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. In the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians is the greatest defense of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as well as the resurrection of the believer in all of literature. The first 11 verses focus on the historical reality of this event. To prepare his defense for the resurrection of Jesus, Paul first reminds the Corinthians of the power of the gospel and that he had preached to them and that they had received. We all need to be reminded of the basics of the gospel from time to time, because as Paul stated in Romans 10:16, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We are saved by God, not by ourselves. Once we receive the gospel, we stand on it for the rest of our lives. The gospel never goes out of date, never becomes irrelevant, and never loses its power. It is the foundation of our lives, and any other ground we stand on is equivalent to quicksand. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing that brings eternal life. Without it, we will remain dead in our sins. Paul's entire preaching ministry centered around the focal point of the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the single most important aspect of Christianity. We are always to cling to the truth of the resurrection, as it is fundamental to our faith, and there is nothing else to hold on to. Simply put, if there is no resurrection, there is no salvation. Let's look at those two verses again. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you receive, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. The Corinthians were a pagan people, and they were steeped in idolatry before Paul came to them preaching the gospel. And Paul has gotten word that since he left the church that some of them have reverted back to their old way of life. That's what he means, and when he says that they have believed in vain, is that they had a very shallow faith, or that they were not accepting Christ with a repentant heart, and they were slipping back into their old ways. So Paul was writing them this letter to clarify some things. One of the things they had a problem with was the resurrection. And one of the reasons they had a problem with the resurrection was the false teachers. So that is the subject of our lesson tonight, is eyewitnesses to the resurrection. So Paul is going to get into that. The second part of our lesson is the eyewitnesses. It's 1 Corinthians 15:3-7. So we'll read that. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he has been seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Well, Paul is giving a list here of the things that, of the people that have seen Jesus after his resurrection. Well, the most important thing to Paul was preaching the resurrection of Jesus. We are not saved by leading better lives, by becoming better neighbors, or by any type of moral improvement. These things are not bad, nor should they be discouraged, but none of these can make us holy enough for God to save us. In order to be saved, we must believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 10:9. The entire gospel rests on this fact. Without the resurrection, there is no gospel to preach. The gospel, which means good news, is good news only if Jesus actually rose from the dead. Jesus really did die on a cross. He really was buried in the tomb, and he really did get up and walk out of that tomb in a glorified, resurrected body that is no longer susceptible to pain, suffering, or death. The news of Jesus' resurrection was so important to the early church that he quickly formulated a creed that was easy to memorize and recite. And this was essential because many of the people were illiterate, and they needed something they could easily learn and remember. The creed was that taught by the early church defines the gospel in three statements. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. The resurrection was a culmination of God's plan of redemption. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah and look at those Scriptures. Isaiah 53:4-8. Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was as led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. Let's continue and go ahead and read verse 9. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. And this is prophecy from the book of Isaiah. And the crucifixion of Christ goes along with that prophecy. And let's turn to Psalms, chapter 16 of Psalms. Psalm 16, verse 10. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. And that's prophecy from King David, that his soul would not be left in hell, that he would be raised. Now, book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 32 through 37. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which has made of the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, and that he has raised up Jesus. It is also written in the second Psalm. You are my son, today I have begotten you, and that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Therefore also he says in another Psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, saw corruption, but he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Well, these are the scriptures that refers to in the creed that the early Christians learned. And that creed was that Jesus died for our sins, was buried in a tomb, and he rose from the grave on the third day. Now back to our lesson text. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verses 1 through 4, is known as the gospel of the grace of God. And that is what Paul is reminding the Corinthians of, that he has preached this to them before when he was here the first time, and that they need to get back to it. Eyewitness testimony is a powerful line of defense in any case, and Paul lines up witnesses in this passage. Paul is using these eyewitness appearances of the risen Lord to reinforce his gospel message of salvation. So let's read verses 5 through 7 again. And that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James and by all the apostles. All four of the Gospels record the resurrection and the appearances of Christ following his resurrection to many people. So I want to take a look at those. We'll turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 1, reading the first 10 verses. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed He is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, Rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. So that's Matthew's recording of it. And now we can look in Mark chapter 16 and read what he has to say. Mark 16, beginning in verse 1. Skipped over Luke. We'll get back to that in a minute. Mark 16, beginning with verse 1. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. For it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another farm to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. All these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Well, that's Mark's account of the witnesses that seen Jesus in his resurrected body. Well, let's turn back to Luke chapter 24. We begin reading with verse 1. Now on the first... wait a minute. Let's go back to verse 55, chapter 23. Give us a little background. Verse 55, And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Well, what I want you to see there is that they had these spices prepared when it came the first day of the week. They had them ready to go first thing in the morning. Well, they didn't have to go to the market and get them. They already had them. Chapter 24, verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day will rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the leaven and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to be like idle tales. They did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed with reason, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, What things? So they said to them, The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before the people, before God and all the people, and now the chief priests of our ruler and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he is the one going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ who have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass that he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, Did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, Peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, Have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of a boiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding, that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And then we're going to look at the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Beginning with verse 1. John chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. "Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other apostle whom Jesus loved and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away to their own homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'Teacher.' Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.' Now Thomas, called a twin, one of the twelve, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands, the print of the nail, and put my finger into the print of the nail, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hand, and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed.'" the final appearance of Jesus to the apostles, that is ascension. Let's look in the book of Acts, chapter 1. We'll read about that. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will also come in like manner, as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. So that's the stories from all of the Gospels about the people that had witnessed Jesus after his resurrection. Well, did you make a note of all of those people? Did I tell you there's going to be a test? Just kidding. But I will review them. The people Jesus appeared to around Jerusalem were to Mary Magdalene, in John 20:11-18, to the other women, Matthew 28:8-10, to Peter, Luke 24:34, to 10 disciples, Luke 24:36-43, John 20:19-25, to the 11, including Thomas, John 20:26-29, at his ascension, Luke 24:50-53, and Acts 1:3-12. And also he appeared to the disciples on the Emmaus Road, which we read about in Luke 24:13-35. And then in Galilee, Matthew 28:16-20, to 500 people in 1 Corinthians 15:6, to James and the apostles, 1 Corinthians 15:6, to Paul on the road to Damascus, and there are several references to that beginning in Acts 9:1-6. Now the time between Christ's resurrection and his ascension was 40 days, during which time he made many appearances to many people. There were no witnesses to Jesus actually leaving the tomb. The only people there were two guards, and they apparently fainted at the sight of the angels. They were made as dead men, the scripture said. However, there were many people who saw our Lord in his glorified body after his resurrection. Verse 5 of our lesson text, Paul points out that Jesus was seen of Peter. This seems to have been a special one-on-one visit. Speculation is, since Peter had three times denied knowing Jesus, that Jesus wanted to have a personal meeting with him to reassure and reinstate him among the fold of the apostles. Peter was forgiven and restored by the risen Jesus. In verse 6 of our lesson text, Paul states that Jesus was seen by more than 500 people at the same time, some of whom were still alive. Paul was writing this letter about 25 years after the resurrection, so there were people still around that could verify his words. The fact that he was seen by this large group of people prevents the assumption or assertion that this was just a story made up by his closest followers. The 12 were not the only ones to see Jesus alive after he had been declared dead and was buried. If Paul and the other apostles were not telling the truth, the story could have been easily discredited, if not for this large group of people. In verse 7, Paul writes that Jesus was seen of James. then all of the apostles. The people that Paul has mentioned up to this point were believers in Jesus before his death and resurrection. But now he brings up a man who was not a believer during the life of Jesus, and certainly not a follower. This man is James, the brother of Jesus. During the Lord's ministry on earth, James expressed embarrassment and even anger that Jesus was claiming to be the Son of God, from John 7:1-5. Jesus and James grew up in the same house, ate at the same table, maybe shared a room. They were probably schooled together, studied the law together, and maybe worked side by side in the father's carpenter shop. But James failed to see who Jesus really was. I might ask what changed James' mind. Jesus appeared to him after he had been raised from the dead. The resurrection is what convinced James that Jesus was the Son of God. He became a believer. Jesus also appeared to the rest of the apostles. We can't be sure about this number of men that this refers to, because the word apostle is used interchangeably to mean the 12 men personally chosen by Jesus, but also the whole group of his followers. Many of the followers of Jesus would have been well known in the early church and would have included Matthias, who was named as a replacement for Judas Iscariot. That's from Acts 1:21-26. The claims that Paul is making in this passage did not originate with him, however. They were already established teaching of the church before Paul's conversion. He is simply passing on information that he received from others. Now, in the Old Testament, eyewitnesses played an important part in authenticating a truth. To convict someone of a crime, the law required at least 2 eyewitnesses, Deuteronomy 19:15. The fact that the resurrection Jesus was seen by hundreds of eyewitnesses overwhelmingly validates the truth of his resurrection. Now, the third part of our lesson is the testimony of Paul. We will read 1 Corinthians 15:8-11. 1 Corinthians 15:8. Then last of all he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. The last eyewitness this Paul calls forward is himself. As one born out of due time, that is, one who did not have 3 years of training, as the 12 did. Paul experienced his sighting of Jesus after he had ascended to heaven, Acts 9:3-6. While the 12 were studying at the feet of Jesus, Paul was studying under the Jewish rabbi Gamaliel, Acts 22:3. Jesus appeared to him in bodily form, however, and commissioned him to preach the gospel. Paul considered himself to be the least of the apostles. He listed himself last and considered himself least because he had persecuted the church. He was qualified to be an apostle only because Jesus appeared to him and called him. After seeing Jesus in his resurrected glory, Paul went from antagonist to apostle by the grace of God. God's grace did not lead Paul to laziness, however, but caused him to work harder than anyone else. He did not work for salvation, but because of salvation. Paul is not boasting in what he was doing for Christ, but rather in what Christ had done for him. Grace was at work in his life, and that is what enabled him to preach the gospel the way he did. Paul was not out on a self-help mission, but was empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what God had called him to do. Previously, He thought he was doing God's will by persecuting those who proclaimed the name of Jesus. He had considered Jesus a dead blasphemer who would cause more trouble for the Jews than anyone else. But when Jesus appeared to him, he learned that he himself was the one in the wrong. Paul is not saying that he worked harder than others in order to brag about himself. He is simply saying that the fire in him would not go out. Paul was not concerned about pleasing men, 1 Corinthians 4:3. He rejoiced in the fact that the gospel was being preached and that people believed. The gospel proclamation revolved around the preaching of the resurrection. Paul was absolutely convinced that he had seen the risen Jesus, just as over 500 other men had, including the apostles. The resurrection changed his life, just as it changes lives in believers today. The key verse in our lesson tonight is from Corinthians 15:3-4. For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The gospel that Paul proclaimed is the very basis for our faith and right standing before God. Paul was always haunted by his past, that is, his persecution of the believers. Even though that had been atoned for by Christ's sacrifice, but he had never allowed his regrets to hold him back in his service to the Lord. Rather, it caused him to work even harder. In order to summarize our lesson, I want to use some comments from one of my commentaries. Some Corinthians did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They did believe, however, in the resurrection of Jesus. St. Paul reasoned that they soon would disbelieve the resurrection of Jesus also, so he took advantage of the occasion of this letter to teach them the truth about the resurrection of the saints. He first repeats the historical event of evidence of Christ's resurrection, a truth taught by all Christian teachers to all their converts, then shows that the denial of the resurrection of the dead leads logically to the denial of Christ's resurrection. The doctrine of resurrection and future life was not clearly revealed in Old Testament times, so the rewards and punishments set before Israel and the law were temporal ones. But God gradually led his people to a clearer understanding. Their consciousness and communion with God was so strong that they felt death could not end it. Isaiah spoke of a national resurrection, while Daniel spoke of an individual one. The hope of resurrection gradually grew stronger. In our Lord's day, the Pharisees held to it firmly, although the Sadducees denied it. But our Lord's resurrection changed what was previously only partially revealed to a sure and certain hope. Not only did it prove the truth of his claim to be the Son of God and assure men that his sacrifice had been accepted, it also was a pledge that we too shall rise again. The rest of chapter 15 refers to the resurrection, but the title of our lesson and the subject of our lesson was the eyewitnesses to the resurrection. So we have covered that. I would encourage you to read the rest of chapter 15. It is a very good reading. Well, that concludes our lesson tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for these opportunities that we have to gather together and to study from your word. And Lord, we pray that we would learn from those studies, that we'll be better Christians and be better servants for you. And Lord, we thank you so much for the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we might have salvation. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Comments or questions?